she's been practicing at Bhaktivedanta Hospital.
On behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I would like to welcome all of the assembled guests today to this beautiful festival, Chetna. We are all very grateful to each and every one of you because you've spared your very, very precious time to come all the way and be a part of this festival. Thank you so much. And of course, I would like to thank Rajiv because she has made such an auspicious beginning. Not just the auspicious beginning, but the Kirtan was already on, but one of the auspicious parts in this whole festival. So thank you very much. So at the beginning, I would like to wish all of you a very happy New Year 2009. Yeah, we are already 17 days into the New Year, but still quite some time to go, right? So wish you all a very, very happy New Year. So what we are celebrating actually is the New Year by the English calendar. You all know there are different New Years in different parts of the world. Yeah, forget about different parts of the world. Even in our own country, there are so many New Years, right? Different areas, different states have different New Years. But we've kept this with the general New Year, that is when people step from one year to another by the English calendar. So we'll start off by giving you a little information on the history of this New Year by the English calendar, 2008-2009. So English calendar starts from which month? January. Ends in which month? December. Can anyone tell me why it is named January and not anything else? Any history student? Yeah? Okay, even I came to know recently, but it is this calendar from January to December was actually prepared by the Romans. You know, the Romans? So, this king, there was a king in this old Roman Empire whose name was Janus. So, this January is derived from this name, Janus. Okay? So, this Janus is very significant. No? So, when the Romans, they used to depict Janus, the picture that they used to draw of Janus is of a man with two faces. One face looking forward and the other face looking backward. No? So, it's very significant because it went on to depict that at this juncture, when we are crossing from one year to another year, this Janus, with his face which is backwards, he is looking at what has happened in the previous year. And with the one which is in front, he is looking at what to do in the future. Huh? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that is why for all of us, this New Year's Eve and this New Year resolution, it's all about these two aspects, right? We look back at what was our success, what did we achieve, right? What were our failures? Where did I go wrong? Huh? Or where did I go right? And especially, I'm sure all of you will agree, for all of us who are residents of Mumbai, we need to definitely look back at 2008 and say that yes, we are the survivors of the worst terrorist attack that we had in this city. True? You agree? Yes. And then with the face forwards, like Janus, what are we looking at? What am I to achieve? What are my priorities? Huh? We still have 348 days to go. 17 are gone. Yes? But what do I achieve? How do I work out the next New Year? Right? So this we think at this juncture. Now, I don't know, some of you may be students who are in management and some are working. But if most people must be aware that any organization, any department, any company, you know, if you want to make progress, if you want to go ahead, then always there is an analysis. You analyze, you know. Where do I stand? How I can make progress? Correct? So there is one formula which most organizations use. That is SWOT. SWOT. Have you all heard about it? Yes. So what does S stand for?
Strengths.
What does W stand for?
Weaknesses.
O? Opportunities. And T? Threats. Correct? So that's an analytical study that every point of time as organizations is done. That what are our strengths which we can build on, which on which we can progress? What are our weaknesses which we should rectify? What are the opportunities that we have which we can utilize? And what are the threats that we should be careful of? Correct? Only then we can grow. Without this careful understanding of where we can build and what we should avoid, there cannot be progress. No progress is haphazard. It just doesn't happen on its own. It has to be worked out. Any systematic progress has to be worked out. So very nice small example to understand that for any progress, we should know where we have to reach, how I can reach. Correct? So a nice example of a ship. You all know a ship which goes into the sea. Suppose a ship leaves from Bombay port. Okay? And it has to go to Australia. So starts from one point. The captain of the ship should know where my ship is going to. He should know the destination. Correct? Once he knows the destination, on the ship there are compasses, various specific instruments, with the help of which he guides the ship from one point to another point. Correct? He knows how much time it will take, how I should go. All that is helped through. But suppose, imagine, the captain says he has to go from Mumbai. He goes into the middle sea. Says, I'm supposed to go to Australia, but I won't take help of all this compass and all that instruments. He's in the middle of the ocean. Just imagine, he's in the middle of the ocean. He says, I'm not going to take help of anything. I'll think how I want to go. Maybe I should go 15 miles north. Maybe then I should go 15 miles west. Then somewhere south. I'll go. Do you think he'll ever reach? He will reach. Maybe some shore he will reach. But do you think he will reach Australia in a given time? No. Right? No. He won't. What you would call that? Aimless wandering. He's just wandering around. Correct? So similarly, it's explained that this human life, this human body, is like the ship. And we are captains of that ship. Correct? Unless we know where our destination is, how am I supposed to progress, right? How am I supposed to proceed towards it? If one doesn't do that, then what is not there? There's no sense of direction. There's no sense of purpose. You're just going on and on. Maybe for months, maybe for years. Human life is just progressing. But there's no sign of what is the destination, no sign of what is the goal. How do I progress? Right? Without purpose, no direction, what is it? Aimless wandering. Right? So it is very weird that we will lose all our time, all our energy, just aimless wandering. So that is why a human being has to understand, what is my destination? What is my goal? What is my purpose? Right? You agree? Yeah? Do you agree with the ship just moving around without any... No. Same thing with the human life. So the second aspect that we actually come to is, what should be our goal? You say that there should be a goal, there should be a destination, but what should it be? So usually New Year's resolutions, most people know. What resolutions does everybody take commonly? Anyone?
Punctuality.
Sorry?
Punctuality.
True. Yes, I'll be punctual. Yeah, what else?
Getting up early.
Getting up early, yes. I'll get up early from tomorrow, January 1st, 2009. Yes. I'll study. I'll study better, I'll do well, I'll get big, good marks, I'll stand first. Yes? Yeah, what else? I'll save money, yes. What else? I'll eat healthy food, yes. No more junk. No more fast food. Yes, anything else? I will not lose my temper. Yes. Yes. I will help my father. I'll help my mother. I'll do some housework. I'll stop my mother from cribbing that she doesn't do anything. Yes. Yes. That is what we're going to deal with. So these are the common goals. Generally, most people take these goals aimed at what? Self-betterment. To be a better person. Very good goals. No doubt about it. Very good goals. But if you have to just broadly classify goals, then there are something called as short-term goals. It's a broad classification. And something called as long-term goals. But today, the topic that we have, New Year resolutions, we are not discussing these goals. These are the common goals. Everybody is aware. Most frequently taken. But what we have gathered together today is to discuss, is there something higher? Are there some goals which you can broadly say as long-term goals, but which are higher than these goals? And at the same time, if we achieve these goals, then all these short-term goals are ultimately fulfilled. That is what we are going to discuss today. Okay? So, before we go on to that, I just want you to be a little analytical. That what is the one common thing amongst all of us who are gathered here in this room today? Your girls. Yes. True. Any other common thing? Spiritual vibration. But I'm talking of basic. We are girls, but we are all human beings. Huh? All humans. Right? We have not invited for the Chetna festival anyone from any other species. It's primarily human species. Correct? Why? Why? Because it's only the human species who can sit and discuss. Right? Who can think. That's why I said let's be a little analytical. Right? That's only a human who can do that. So, what is the difference between a human and an animal? Language, speaking power, thinking power. Distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. Yes. Yeah. So it's explained that there are four activities which are similar, absolutely same between humans and animals. What is it? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Same activities, both animals, humans, whatever species. Okay? The activity is the same. There is the satisfaction derived from that activity is also the same. Okay? You eat, animal eats, same happiness. We may do it in a more sophisticated way. We may use so much of technology for the same thing, but activity is the same. So if we as humans are doing the same activities as eating, sleeping, mating, defending, then there is no big difference between us, the humans, and the animals. It's no big difference. So what is that extra thing that we have? It's explained, ahara nidra bhayam aitunam cha samanyam eva pashubhi naranam. It's the same. Ahara, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, same. No difference. Dharmo hi eko aneko vishesho. Dharme nahina pashu bhi samana. Dharma. That is the only difference between an animal and a human being. Without dharma, there is no difference. The same. So what does dharma mean? Dharma means, Srila Prabhupada explains, dharma means understanding one's constitutional position. What is constitutional position? Very nice example is when there is sugar. What is the nature of sugar? sweet. Right? It cannot be sugar and not be sweet. Can it be? Anyone knows sugar which is not sweet? No. What is the nature of salt? Salty. You can't separate saltiness and salt. You say it's salt, but it's not salty. Is it possible? What is the nature of water? Liquid. Correct? So same way, the nature of the soul is to serve the Supreme Lord. So that is the constitution nature of the soul. So why does the soul come into picture? Where does the soul come into picture? How did I come to the soul? That we need to understand. So when I'm talking of the constitutional position, only we can ask, who am I? What is my purpose? Only human can ask, right? Only human being can ask, who am I? What am I supposed to do? What is the purpose of my life? And does anyone answer this question? Any of your textbooks gives this answer? Yeah, my textbooks didn't. Did your textbooks ever give you this answer? No. None of our physics, chemistry, biology, none of our universities, none of the curriculums give us this answer. Truly. Right? So where do we go? Where do we refer? How do we understand this? So we have to go for something higher. Right? Something else. So very nice example that is given, which is much easier for us to understand, is like suppose tomorrow you want to buy a washing machine. Various companies, no? Washing machines. Which are the companies? Whirlpool, Wipro, Videocon, many machines, right? Suppose you want to buy a machine. So what comes? You purchase a washing machine. What comes along with the washing machine? It's a manual, right? You give a manual along with the machine. Any gadget for that matter. We are taking an example of washing machine. You get a manual, right? What is the purpose of the manual? To guide us. Guide us of how we can utilize this machine to its full efficacy. And for the purpose for what it is made. Right? I say washing machine. So I say, okay, I can wash anything. Tomorrow I'll wash vessels. No, it's very clearly mentioned in the manual. No, it's for washing clothes only. Right? The purpose is something. It's supposed to be used for something. And so that we can use it to its complete efficacy, that is why the manual is given. Agree? Yes? At the same time, the second purpose of the manual is that if there is some problem in the machine, then you know what to do. Right? The manual also says, if you have this problem, do this. If you have this problem, do that. Correct? But suppose you say, oh, I don't want to see the manual. Maybe I should press this button. Maybe I should press that button. Will it work? No. So same way, the same thing you can carry forward to understand that this human body that we all have is just like a very, very precious gadget. Very similar. You can understand how precious it is. Any small little impairment you go to repair, get a big bill. Very costly. Goes into thousands of rupees. Right? It's a very, very precious gadget. So you think the person who's created this gadget has given it without any manual? Definitely not. There is a manual. Just like the washing machine company who created that washing machine gave a manual along with it. Similarly, with this human body that we have got, there is also a manual. And this manual is the scriptures. The scriptures, because this body is created by God, so these scriptures are the word of God, the person who's created it, right? So the bona fide scriptures are the words of God. But today, we will be speaking on the basis of one of the scriptures, that is the Bhagavad Gita. So the first teaching of the Bhagavad Gita is, we are not the body, but we are the spirit soul. We are not the body, we are the spirit soul. The first teaching, basic understanding. We are having this body as a covering. But the real I is the spirit soul. Is it clear? Okay. So we may have different bodies. Indian body, American body, Gujarati body, South Indian body, whatever. But they are all coverings. The real person is spirit soul. And this spirit soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. It's a part of the Supreme Lord. So the constitutional position, just like of the sugar is to be sweet, salt is to be salty, same way the constitutional position of this soul is to serve the Supreme Lord. Is this concept clear? It's very clear, right? That the position is to serve the Supreme Lord. So that is why this human life that we have got, this human body that we have got, should be utilized to reconnect. We have forgotten this now, right? But our duty is to reconnect with that Supreme Lord and to engage in the Lord's service. That is the goal. When we get a human body, that is the goal. That to re-establish our relationship with the Lord and to engage in the Lord's service. And when we achieve that goal, only then we can be happy. Only then we can be peaceful. Everywhere in the world, people talk of peace, right? Hame shanti chahiye. So many peace organizations, peace walks, peace talks, peace runs. Yes? But on what basis? On the basis of the body, there will be differences. Just like we said, we are girls, so there are boys, right? If there are Indians, there are people from other countries, right? There will be difference. How can there be a common factor? The common factor is that we are all spirit souls, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. He's our Supreme Father. When we all want to serve Him, that is a common factor, right? Is this clear? Only then there can be peace. And when the soul is engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord, then one can be peaceful and happy. Otherwise, there will always be restlessness. There will always be anxiety. The very nice example, I'm sure you'll have heard this example many, many times before, but it's a very, very nice example, and it is the most convincing example, is that of a fish out of water. Have you all heard this example? Yes, how many of you have heard this example? Okay. Like a fish, what does a fish need? Water. Now I say, what is there in water? Plain water, what is the use of this water? I take the fish out. I take a beautiful golden plate. And I put the fish on this plate. And I tell the fish, I'll get you the most exquisite designer dresses for you. Will the fish be happy? What will the fish be doing? It's flapping, it's struggling for life. So you get the best dresses, or I say, I'll get the best, the most beautiful designer jewelry for you. Very expensive. This studded, that studded, the best. There can be nothing beautiful. And I put it around the neck. Will the fish be happy? No. It's struggling. It's struggling for life. I get the best cell phone, the recent, whatever it is, I don't know. The recent update with everything. Just see. You think the fish will be happy? The fish will be at peace? No. I get the best 5-star or whatever star is higher than that menu. With the best things to eat. You think the fish will be happy? No. It's flapping. It's struggling. It's trembling. Why? What does a fish need? Water. Right? Because that is its natural position. Until we give that fish water, it's just going to keep on being struggling. It cannot be happy. And immediately when you put the fish in water, fish is happy. Then whatever you give doesn't make any relevance to the fish. Correct? Same way. We are not this body. We are spirit soul. Spirit soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The constitutional position of the soul is to serve the Supreme Lord. And this human life is for that purpose. To re-establish our connection with the Supreme Lord and to serve. when we are in that position, it's just like the fish in water. Absolutely happy. Absolutely peaceful. That is the goal that we have to achieve. Radha Gopinath ki jai. So that is the goal. Yeah? Now the next aspect is, okay, I understand the goal that I'm supposed to achieve. Has everybody understood the goal that we are talking of? Okay. So we understand what is the goal, but what are the qualities we require to achieve that goal? What are the qualifications to achieve this goal? Of course, there are many things, but we will just focus on a few of them, of which the three that we are discussing today is determination, enthusiasm, and patience. Yeah? What are we talking about? Determination, enthusiasm, and patience. Huh? Like many people make New Year resolutions, surely. But then, usually how long do people follow it? Huh? We all have experience, right? Maybe one day, 1 month if someone is very determined. Wait 2 months, and then it just fades into thin air, right? We don't even remember what is the resolution of this week. Till December 31st next year. Arre, I had actually made this resolution, you know, last year. Right? So what is lacking? Determination. Right? So what the goal that we are talking of is again something which requires a lot of determination. Right? Determination, when you're saying New Year resolution, the meaning of resolution is fixed determination. Fixed determination. Come what may, nothing will sway me away from this path. That is the determination we need. Very fixed. Whatever happens. So a very nice example actually, which will inspire all of us, is the story of Dhruva. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains Dhruva's story. It's not mythology. It's a fact. How many have heard the story of Dhruva? I'm sure, so many, right? So Dhruva, of course, it's a big, big pastime, the whole life story of Dhruva. But we will just focus on some things which is to understand this point better, that is determination. Just to inspire and understand how determined one can be. So Dhruva was just a 5-year-old boy. You all know how big 5-year-old kids are, right? 5-year-old small little boy, and he was actually the son of King Uttanapad and the great grandson of Lord Brahma himself. So one day he was in the kingdom, in the palace, he was insulted by his stepmother. So this 5-year-old child Dhruva, he felt so much pain, and he was really pained by this. So he came crying to his mother. But his mother, Suruchi, she was helpless. You, 5-year-old child, can you imagine feeling so much pain? They do feel something, but then they forget it after some time, right? But Dhruva was not like that. He really felt the pain and he was helpless. And at that time, his mother directed him. She said, I can't do anything, but I'm sure Lord Vishnu can help you. So she directed him. So he said, where can I find Vishnu? He said, I know that saintly people go to the forest to search for Lord Vishnu. So I think you should go there. So 5-year-old child, 5-year-old kids don't even go into a room which is dark, without light. This child, alone, without parents or without anyone to protect him, just walked into the forest. Such determination. That I have to find Vishnu. I have to find Hari. And he walks into the forest. And somehow, because of his sincere desire, Narad Muni comes there. He meets him. So initially Narad Muni, tells him, you're such a small boy, 5 years old. You know? Why are you so upset? So Narad Muni tries to test him by discouraging him a little. But Dhruva is so fixed. He
He asked Narad Muni to help him out to how to find Vishnu. He's so serious. So seeing his determination, Narad Muni gives him the mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Dhruva was so fixed, 5-year-old child, he just stood, he went to the forest of Madhuban, and there he started his austerities, and his mind was completely fixed on the Lord. He started first of all just eating some few fruits every 3 days for the first month. Then after that he even reduced that. He was taking something once in every 6 days. The third month it was even more austere. Once in every 9 days he was taking a little water. And the fourth month, even more austere, he started controlling his breathing. To the extent that in the fifth month he was just standing on one foot and controlled his breathing completely. Such austerity. Such determination, not imagination, it's a fact. Such determination, just like lines on the stone. You know how when you draw a line on the stone, never to go away again, right? That is the determination of Dhruva. And finally, Lord Vishnu appeared to him within these few months with such determination. This is one very, very inspiring example for all of us. Second example, I want you to just think around, is we had this terrorist attacks, very fresh, just 26th November, all of us know. And for days together, in fact even now, every day newspapers are reporting so much about these, you know, this happened, that happened, so many details. But one very interesting thing was, I'm sure many of you must have read, that these terrorists, they were undergoing training in some training camps. And there some papers are also given what was their timetable. And if you had a look at the timetable, really austere. Extremely austere. Only one who is really determined can withstand such a training. So much of discipline, so much of sacrifice. Very austere. But for all wrong purposes. Right? They're so determined to do this training for such a wrong purpose. That is to create so much of violence, create so much of death. Can you imagine? And just 10 people, according to whatever reports, entered with such determination into this city. Right? And they practically held the city on siege. The city which is the financial capital of this country. One of the most influential cities in the whole world. This, and with such a huge population, was practically held under siege by just 10 people. Just 10 people. What is number 10 in comparison to the crores of people that are there in this city? Right? But they were so determined for the wrong purpose. So can we imagine that when the purpose is wrong, the act is wrong, it's just filled with hatred and violence. If such people, with such determination, can make such an impact, then can we imagine that when we, all of us here, have the real knowledge, the actual purpose of life, which can make all of us happy, as well as all around us, we can spread peace and happiness. If all of us have that steady determination, then what an impact it can make to the whole world. Can you imagine? What an impact. It's a huge impact. Achieving the goal ourselves with such determination and helping so many others. Helping the whole world, in fact. So the first quality that we discussed was determination. Second, enthusiasm. We have to be very enthusiastic. Once we set a goal, when you start off, I don't know if it really works. How far do you think we'll go off? Hardly. Right? We have to be enthusiastic. When you know, you have the knowledge. That's why the knowledge is important first. And you know it works. So even if we may not have the enthusiasm, but if you are associating with people, you are there with people who are enthusiastic, very infectious. Even you get excited. you get enthusiastic, right? So that is very important. We need to associate with people who will not dampen your spirit saying, forget it. No. We need to associate with people who will say, yes, let's do it. Right? So knowing this goal, we need to associate with like-minded people who will say, yes, this is worth it. Worth. Because this is the goal of our human life. Right? So this is second thing. Enthusiasm. And what is the third thing? Patience. Can't expect overnight results. Right? Just can't expect overnight results. Oh, I did it on 1st Jan, 2nd Jan, some results. Is it possible? No. No. It's very simple. Very nice example that we can understand is, suppose you plant a seed. You plant a seed in the ground because you want a particular plant or a tree. And when you plant the seed, you need to water the seed also. Right? And then what happens? Does the tree come out? No. It's very gradual, right? A small little sapling, then it will grow a little bigger, small little plant. We need to protect it from so many things. Then it grows and grows, and then it becomes a tree, and then there are flowers and fruits. True? Yeah. We can't expect that to, yesterday I put the seed, why there is no tree? Where is the result? Does it work that way? No. Same way. Same way with this goal that we are talking of. It's slow and gradual, but sure. Sure enough. Right? So these are the three qualities. Enthusiasm, patience, and determination. So you say, okay, now we come to the next part where you say, okay, I understood the goal. I understood what are the qualities that are required. But do you think all that is important now? I mean, what is the urgency? Can't I do it after some time? You know? So many people will tell, you're too young for all this reconnecting with the Lord. No, too young. Yeah, maybe you should just wait for some time. No, I understand. Very good. Goal is good. Qualities are good. Very nice. But can I just wait? So we need to understand that when we say a new year, a year is composed of days. Right? So many days. And each day is composed of so many hours. And each hour is composed of so many minutes. And each minute is composed of seconds. So kindly look at your watches. Please have a look at your watches and look at the seconds hand ticking away. Yes, we can all take a look. Is it ticking away? Even if you put your watch, you shut off your watch, will the seconds stop ticking? Keep ticking, right? Time just ticks away. It said, no, time and tide wait for no one. Right? It just ticks away. Very powerful. Just ticks away. Whether we like it or we don't, every passing second, we're getting closer and closer and closer to death. Yes? It's explained that, you know, life is a journey from the womb to the tomb. Yes? From the womb to the tomb. Very amazing journey though. Because in this journey, each of us can only tell how many stations we have passed. But none of us can tell how many stations are left. Can anyone? No. We don't know how many stations are left. We all write date of birth, right? Can any of us write DOD, date of death? No. No, it's a very amazing journey, very unique. So how much we need to be conscious of this time that's ticking away. The scriptures explain that one moment lost is lost. Is lost forever, right? One may be the richest person on this planet, but can we get that moment back? No. Today is 17th Jan 2009. I say I want 6:30 PM to 17th Jan 2009 back. Can anyone get it for me? Anyone? No. I'm ready to pay as much. Can anyone get it back? No. A moment lost is lost forever. Whatever one may do, it just won't come back. Srila Prabhupada used to explain that once there was this man, a very wealthy person, and he was on his deathbed. So he called the doctor and he said, "Doctor, please, I'm ready to pay you as much as you want. Just give me 1 hour, please. I need to settle my, you know, estate, my finance. 1 hour only, nothing more. Not even a second, you know, more than 1 hour." He said, "What 1 hour? I can't even grant you 1 moment more. Right? Can anyone give it to us? No, it's gone. It's gone forever. So how precious, it's the most precious thing we have, time. It is the greatest tragedy, Srila Prabhupada says, the greatest tragedy, a moment lost is the greatest tragedy without being utilized properly. Because you can never get it back. Wealth lost, you can get it back. But this you can't get it back. So in our goal, pursuing this goal, postponing or procrastination for another time will be the biggest obstacle. I understand. Everything is right. True, true. Very good. But today, you know, I just have something. Maybe I'll start from tomorrow. Tomorrow. Yeah? But tomorrow never comes. Because when tomorrow comes, there is another tomorrow. Right? The tomorrow becomes today and there is another tomorrow. And we do not know which tomorrow will be our last day. Right? Which tomorrow will be our last day? So we can't afford to go on postponing. It's a very nice example, a very nice small story of a person which is explained by the acharyas. It's a story of Kailash. Kailash is a nice, pious person. He knew a lot of things about spiritual life. Wanted to do it. And his spiritual master was Narad Muni. So Narad Muni came to Kailash. He said, "Kailash, you've got this. Now you should take it up seriously. Take up spiritual life seriously." So Kailash said, "Yes, yes, Narad Muni, I understand. True. But you see, I'm just going to get married. Just. Let this one thing happen. Then I will be very, very serious. You know, I will take it up very, very seriously." Narad Muni says, "Okay." After some time, Narad Muni comes back. He says, "Kailash, now you should take it up seriously." He said, "Yes, yes, Narad Muni, I understand. But you know, just now my children are very small. You know, just as small children. Yeah, I'll just see to it that, you know, they are educated and, you know, they are settled. Then I will surely take it up, you know, very seriously." So after some time, again Narad Muni comes back. And he says, "Yeah, Narad Muni, you are very right. I have to do it. But, you know, now I'm just getting my children married. And, you know, they have to be in, their business should run. And, you know, then I will surely take it seriously. I will surely do it." So Narad Muni comes back. And there's no Kailash. So he asks, "Where is Kailash?" He says, "Oh, he just died." So Narad Muni was walking out of the house and he saw one dog. "Woof, woof. I'm Kailash, Narad Muni." He said, "Oh, now you're in the body of a dog? Now you take it up seriously?" "Oh, no, no, Narad Muni. Just wait. I'm sure I'm going to take it up. But you know, these people, I've done so much. But they don't know how to take care of this house. They don't know how to take care of the belongings. No, let me just take care of this. And then once it's done, I'm surely going to take it up. Surely." And there's no... So Narad Muni goes back. And then he comes again after some time. "Where is the dog?" "Oh, the dog died." Narad Muni feels so bad. And he's walking in the garden out. And there's one snake. "Narad Muni, it's me, Kailash." "Sit. Now, at least now." "No, no, Narad Muni, you do not know. You know, there's so much. These people are so careless. They don't know how to take care. I have to be here to protect everything." Narad Muni is... This person doesn't understand, you know, that So he calls the people, his children and his grandchildren, and he said, there's a big snake in your garden, you know. Just kill that snake. So they all come with sticks and everything to beat the snake. And as they're beating the snake, it's like, oh, Narad Muni, no, I will come, you know, just protect me. So then Narad Muni, you know, helps him out. So this story of Kailash is very, very significant because this is the story of most of our lives, right? Most of us. Most of us are in this phase. Just today let it be. You know, tomorrow, surely I'm going to take it up. Procrastination. Postponing. Once we know the goal, we know the path, how to achieve it, still we think another day. So we should be so grateful to people who are like this, who are like Narad Muni, who are coming to remind us, you know, this is the goal. Wake up. Enough. Yeah? So it's explained in the scriptures that Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, we have to take it up very intensely. Intense devotional service. So we can't afford to wait. It is urgent. Irrespective of what our age is. Like Prahlad Maharaj, also an aged 5, he was giving the example that average human life, average, which hardly anyone lives, whatever, external factors, internal factors, 100 years. Huh? And out of that, if one spends 12 hours sleeping, that's 24 hours, 12 hours gone. So out of this 100 years, half, 50% gone, means how many years? 50 years. And that 50 years, 10 years goes just in, you know, childhood. Not aware of anything that's happening around. 10 years, youth, fantasies of youth. So essentially, growing phase, 20 years gone. 20 years, old age. Can't see, can't hear, can't speak, can't get up. If you get up, you can't, you know, you can't sit down. If you sit, you can't get up. Tragic. 20 plus 20, 40 gone. Out of 50. And remaining 10. To be utilized, that 10 also. And if, that is if we get the 10, first of all. Right? So, we can't afford to wait. So that is the urgency. And the last thing that we're going to end up is, of course, you're going to ask me, so how can I practically do it? It's good. Goal is good. Qualities are good. I know it's urgent. I can't afford to wait. So how do I put? So you mean I should also go to the forest today, like Dhruva? Or I should also do some austerities? No. It's very simple. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Krishna, Radharani and Krishna, is given a very, very simple process. Whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever our background is, whatever our situation in life is, at this very moment, you can start working on your goal. Our goal is to re-establish our relationship with the Lord and perform devotional service to the Lord. Correct? Does everybody remember the goal that we started discussing at the first beginning? Okay. So, wherever we are, at whatever point, at any phase in life, we can definitely get reconnected. And how? By, we will just discuss 4 points. First is the chanting of the holy names. Because the holy name is non-different than the Lord. The name of the Lord is non-different than the Lord. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalau Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva Gatiranyatha. There is no other way, no other way, no other way other than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. The most easiest process. We don't have to think of a better situation or my financial situation has to improve, my social situation has to improve. No. Wherever we are, in whatever situation, whatever our background, right now, at this very moment, each and every one, individually, collectively, can immediately start approaching the goal by chanting the holy name. You are having this kirtan of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Anyone, anytime, anywhere. No caste, no creed, no sex, no age, nothing. Don't have to pay anything. Just this tongue. and the ear. That's all. The most powerful process to achieve this goal.
But this is an important fact. We said that it's just like planting the seed. So we all have got that seed of this knowledge, the goal, correct? So when you plant the seed, and then you need to water it, correct? So I water it today, then tomorrow I feel lazy. 7 days I don't feel like watering it. 8th day I get up and just pour a little water. Will that seed ever go into a plant in a tree? No. Same thing applies here. We understand the goal, we got this knowledge, the seed is planted, but we need to do the chanting every day. The watering of the plant is done every day. Otherwise, the plant is going to dry and die. Right? So, the same thing with this process. Every day, watering this holy name is the one which will make the difference in achieving the goal. And the second thing is associating with the right type of people. Association. So, association with like-minded people. Right? Who will enthuse us on this path. And avoiding the association of those who will deter us, who will create obstacles, those who are sinful. So this association makes a huge difference, who we associate with. And third is setting our priorities right. Most people will say, oh, there's no time. Where is the time to do all this? Very common, right? But if we set our priorities correct, what is most important for us, then everything else falls into place. So it's very important that we set our priorities right. And the fourth thing is, always be grateful. Every day, we need to be grateful. Grateful to the Lord because we're getting one day. Then we get up in the morning, alive, awake. Yet we're so grateful. I'm seeing this day. And grateful to the people around us who are helping us, caring for us. When there is gratefulness in our heart, definitely we please the Lord. And He will give us the strength to progress on this path. Whatever achievements, just like a football match. In a football match, when people have to score a goal, there's a whole team, right? But one person kicks the ball and the ball goes into the goal. But does that mean the credit is a person who kicks the ball? No, all the members of the team are working for it, helping to kick that ball, the goal. So similarly, we have to be so grateful to everyone around us who's helping us with this goal. So when one is grateful, one will never offend anyone. When one is grateful, you'll always please the Lord. So these are the four things. What are the four things? Chanting the holy name, associating with the like-minded, sincere people, setting our priorities, and always be grateful. Okay? So I will just conclude with a small little example. Because this world, if you see externally, everything is a mess. It's very difficult. The world of negative, so much of negativity. So one feels hopeless. How can I pursue this path? So it's a very nice example which I have heard from my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And it has helped me so much. And I'm sure when I share it with you, it will help all of you also. Most of you must be aware of it, but still. It's the example of how to live our lives like a lotus flower. All of you have seen a lotus flower? Where does a lotus flower grow? The dirt. Everything around it is dirty. It's muck, dirt, dirty water. But the lotus flower is so beautiful. It's untouched by everything around it. You agree? Everyone has seen a lotus flower? Yes. It's untouched. Why is that so? Because the roots of this lotus flower go deep, deep down. It doesn't take nourishment from that dirty water around. It goes deep down into the clear waters and that's how it's nourished. And that's how it stays so beautiful, untouched by all the dirt around. So similarly, the world that we are, definitely, it's a difficult place. It's quite messy, quite dirty. But then we can make our lives like that lotus flower. When we develop and take our nourishment from this deep spiritual knowledge, make our goals much, much higher than the things of this world.
then we can live like these lotus flowers, happy, blissful, and passing on this peace, love and happiness to everyone around us. Thank you so much for your patient hearing to each and every one of you. And I thank all the organizers for giving me this opportunity to make this presentation. And I would also like to thank all my God brothers and God sisters who actually helped me compile this presentation. What I have presented before you is just inputs from so many of them, which we have added together. And finally, I would like to thank Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, because they are the ones who are giving us this direction of what is the goal and how to achieve it, without whom our lives would be like that aimless wandering ship in the sea. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Rukmini Mataji. And we would like to remind you with a couple of announcements.